We welcome you to worship at College Park. Excited to be with you today. A few announcements that we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, write your name down, give us your contact information if you choose. Also, check the correct boxes. This lets us know a little bit about you. This is for members and guests. We do ask, once you're done, send it down so everybody on your pew has a chance to fill it out. Once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started, we would appreciate that. We do ask, once it comes back to that very first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. A couple other announcements. We are having children's time today. I invite all the kids to come down right here. After that first hymn, and we'll talk for just a few minutes. Speaking of children, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who played a significant role in the last two big events, Fall Family Festival last Sunday, and then Treat Street on Wednesday. All between the two events, we had at least, well over 800 people between those two events. And this just a, yes. Many, many people worked hard to make that happen. If your Sunday school class or your group or your family did a door, thank you so much. We had 19 doors that were done that night. Just a variety of experiences. Just a great night together. So thank you for Fall Family Festival, for Treat Street, our family ministry team. We are so thankful for you and all the efforts that you make in putting families first in our community and reaching out to the people in Winston-Salem. So thank you for being a part of that. Mr. Russell, you've got an announcement.
All right, how's it going? All right. I'd like to ask the candidates for deacon in the coming election if they could come down front and stand for a moment so we can put a name with a face. Okay. I think we mostly know all of these people and probably in most cases know every single one of them. Starting from my left and your right, Kathy Chinlin, Kent Hobson. I don't know, I guess I should have y'all step forward like this was a lineup or something. But yeah, something like that. Yeah, that was good. There you go. Thank you, Kent. John Cobble. There you go. Matt Hamby. Bill Henson. And last but certainly not least, dun dun dun, Jay Edmonds. All right. Now, even someone as mathematically disenfranchised as myself will notice that there are six candidates for six positions on the diaconate. We will still be having deacon election next Sunday throughout the day as usual, and we will be electing these six candidates to the office of deacon in our church. And aren't we fortunate to have six candidates as excellent as these? Yes, we are. Thank you, folks.
And the choir will be well represented. Yeah, absolutely. A couple other announcements we'll make. Just several things that are listed there in your bulletins under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. Hoops for Him, our basketball league. We have one change with that. The third through the sixth graders are partnering with Beck's Baptist. They will be practicing this Tuesday at 6 o'clock at Beck's. Well, next year, we ain't going to have to go to Beck's. Isn't that good? Next year, we don't have to. I mean, Beck's will have to come to us. How about that? But Tuesday night, third through sixth graders, they will be practicing at Beck's. Everybody else, we're going to start practice a week from Tuesday. We will not be able to practice this Tuesday. So November the 13th, that's when the rest of our basketball teams, 7th through 12th grade, both girls and guys, will be practicing at Old Town Elementary. Okay? Other things listed there under upcoming events, opportunities for the week, just want you to make note of that. We want to say a special welcome this morning to our guests. You've already given us your information, and we're thankful for that on the pew pad. If you're a guest this morning, we invite you, just right where you're sitting, just to raise your hand. Our ushers are going to come back down the aisles now. They'll recognize you. Just raise your hand where you are. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you're going to find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you the latest in our story, and also a little bit of the history of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship today. Question. Are you thankful for the people in your life? Some days, it's easy to say yes. Other days, not so much. You know those days when the person you love the most has driven you crazy the most? You know what I do this to my wife all the time. Yes, this is confession. I'm being honest. But sometimes, there are people that we love the most that sometimes we just do things wrong to. I'm thankful that I serve a God who gives us second chances. I'm thankful that I serve a God who wants us to love our neighbor as much as ourselves. And that means saying I'm sorry. That means giving them more of our attention. That means sacrificing what I want for what's best for them. This is the way that we can make up for our mistakes. These are the second chances that God gives us to remind the world that because Jesus loved me, that I'm going to love the world the same way. He sacrificed himself. He gave up his own will so that we may be saved. I'm thankful that we have a God who knows about second chances. Let's prepare for worship. Pray with me. Our Father, if I'm honest, there are some days I just don't want to be here. There's just some days I don't have the strength, I don't have the energy, I want to do something else. But Father, I am reminded that in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, even in his anguish, even in his despair, when he asked for the cup to be passed from him, he said, "Not my will, but yours." Father, this life of faith is not about emotions, it's not about what's happening next. It's about what's happening now. And Father, right now, I am thankful to be in worship because I serve a God who gave his all for me. So no matter how I'm feeling right now, I look at Jesus' example on the cross and I'm brought back into focus. There's nowhere else I'd rather be except to worship you. Let us do that in Jesus' name. Amen. All the kids come down. Crisscross applesauce right here. Keeping our hands to ourselves. Good, good, good. Come crisscross applesauce right here. All right. Everybody kind of come this way a little bit. Y'all are good. Y'all are good. Y'all slide this way. Now I need a little bit of input from you. I need some ideas from you. Okay? Can you sit up? Okay, I want you to think about when you go to preschool or elementary school, what are some rules that you have to follow? What are some rules you have to follow? Do what? No talking in the hall. How many of y'all had trouble with this? Oh, come on now. Now, there's like 10 of you with your hands up. I know more of you. Okay, no talking in the hall. What else? You can't wander off. Avi, have you heard that before? You've done that before. Okay, all right. All right. Rules. What are some rules we have to follow at school? Listen to your teacher. That's a good one. Don't blow bubbles in class. Christian, he blew a big bubble right then. All right. What else? What are some other rules that we have? There's a lot. You have a lot of rules, right? Tell me some more rules. Okay. Can't smack people. That's a good rule. Don't smack people. But the teacher can smack you, right? No? Oh, maybe I shouldn't do that. Okay. All right. Christian? Don't sharpen the pencil. When the teacher is talking, they get really mad. Teachers, did I get an amen? Okay. All right. That's a good rule. All right. What else? Oh, this is a good one for this week. Don't sneak candy in your book bag to have for lunch, right? All right. because you got to have enough. You're going to have candy. You got to share it, right? So you got to bring all that extra candy, but you want to eat that candy yourself, right? Okay. All right. Any other rules? Come on. Give me some more rules. Give me more rules. No running in the halls. What? You got a rule? What rule? Be quiet. Okay. Keep your hands to yourself. Do not get up when the teacher is talking. Is that what you said? Good rule. Okay. Raise your hand to speak. If yes, in the middle when the teacher's trying to do the lesson or they're trying to teach, that you don't raise your hand and say, can I go to the bathroom? Yeah, that's a bad, all right. Good job. Now, how do you, there's lots more rules, right? But how do you know, how do you remember all of them? Read out the rules, right? But you know what? In the Bible, there was a similar thing. Somebody came up, put your hands down. Somebody came up and asked Jesus, you know, how do we know about all these rules? And do you know what Jesus did? He summed up all the rules into a couple different things. He took all the rules that the Jewish people lived by and he summed them up into two things. Love the Lord your God with what? Does anybody know this one? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your... So love, basically, I need everybody listening. Everybody looking. Love God with everything you've got. So everything you do, whether it's with your mind or your heart or your soul or your strength with your body, whatever you do, love God. And what was the second one? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, what does that mean? Love my neighbor as myself. Yes? You need to share that toy. Yes, good. Right, good. So, loving your neighbor as yourself means treating them like you want to be treated. If you remember those two things, Jesus summed everything up. All those rules that we have at school, those two things, if we remember those two, that's what Jesus said was the most important. Love God with everything. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's pray together. In Jesus, God, we thank you for the opportunity for us to learn about following all the rules. And there's so many times we're not really sure what to do, but you tell us to love you with everything and to love our neighbor as ourself. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go back to your seats now.
It's a good thing. Today we'll be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 4 through 12. I invite you to follow along if you would like to. You can use the Pew Bible in front of you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you're at home, and when you are away, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorpost of your house and of the gates. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land that he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you a land with fine, large cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of goods that you did not fill, hewn cisterns that you did not hew, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, And when you have eaten your fill, take care that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. As we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer, we want you to especially remember the Patterson family. Debbie is in the hospitals having a difficult time, has had a rough week. And so pray for Debbie and Fred and for the family. Also, we want to pray for the families of all those who've passed away this year, as reflected in our All Saints service that we had on Wednesday night. The white rose that you see, it reflects that also, a gift from hospice. So let's bow together. Oh, Heavenly God, we thank you so very much for your love which wraps around us like a warm blanket, inviting us to relax in your presence and to open our hearts to you. And as we talk to you, we find a peace that this world does not offer, a kind of soul peace that only you can provide. We find in your presence a love that's greater than anything that we can imagine, a love that is consistent, a love that's always there, a love that never gives up, never runs out, a plenty, always more than we need, waiting for us as we give ourselves totally and absolutely to you. The greatest human love cannot match the love that we find in Jesus Christ, our Savior. So it seems natural to love you, God, because of the love you extend to us. But sometimes we just get too busy to stop and to let you fill our hearts with yourself, to wait in your presence, to listen for your voice. We ask forgiveness for all the blessings that we've missed, all the time that we did not spend with you, the ways that you could have talked to us and therefore used us. But when we do stop and bask in your love and let your love fill our hearts until they overflow, we find that security, that fulfillment, that forgiveness, the grace to live out our daily lives. We thank you for all that you've made available to us through Jesus Christ, that path to come to you, that intimate relationship with you, those new beginnings that you give us, those chances to start over, the chances to serve you with all that we are and to become all that you've planned for us to be. Thank you for all of this that stems out of your great love. Oh Lord, teach us to love you with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul. Just to give it all to you, all of our time, all of our future, and to see what you do. To be amazed at how you work around us and through us and in us, and the things that you bring into our paths, the opportunities and relationships. Oh, Father, help us to find all of our purpose in you. Father, we pray especially for those who are in the hospital, who have heard bad news, who are waiting for test results, who are trying to heal up. We lift all of them up to you, including the Patterson family, and ask that you just soak all around them with your spirit and use us to be your hands and your feet. May our prayers be felt by them, and may they see your hand in their lives. Now, Father, thank you for this church family, for the opportunity to be family called together by you and in you. And be with each of us as we go from this place today, that we may be your lights in a dark and troubled world, and that you can use us in our daily lives to reach out to our friends and neighbors. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
many of you know, I had surgery on my right lung a few weeks ago. We're very thankful that the surgery was successful and I got a good report. We very much appreciated the visits, the cards, the calls, special homemade gifts. However, most important to us was the love and support that lifted us up, that we felt throughout this process. We are very thankful for that, and we're very appreciative to the Caring Fellowship of College Park. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We gather today to offer you praise and thanksgiving. We thank you for the people of College Park. Thank you for the love and support this fellowship of believers demonstrates in so many ways on a daily basis. The opportunity to serve others in your name is a very special blessing, and we are thankful for such a caring place to come and worship you. With a major election a week ahead, we pray both for wisdom and perspective for all of us. These events are important, but they should neither discourage nor detract us from our primary purpose as your children. We pray for the leaders of our country, guide them in thy will. We especially pray for the members of our armed services, both home and abroad. Protect them as they protect us. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
amen, amen, alleluia, amen.
Alleluia, amen, amen, alleluia, amen. Alleluia, amen, amen, alleluia, amen. Alleluia, alleluia, amen, alleluia, alleluia, amen.
What does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? That seems to be the question of the day. And to seek a little clarification on that, let's look back. Let's look back to the Gospel of Mark, an encounter that Jesus had with a scribe, a teacher of the law. And we're going to read that story because it gives us some information I think will be relevant to our discussion today. Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28, and we'll read down through verse 34. It's an encounter that you've probably heard before. There's parts of it that you will recognize whether you recognize the whole story or not. So let's read it together. One of the teachers of the law, a scribe, came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, the scribe asking Jesus in this case, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. I'm sure Jesus was encouraged by the approval of a scribe. "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, this is Jesus speaking to the scribe, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Listen, my brothers and sisters, to the words of this scribe from long ago, the scribe of Israel, as he shared wisdom. Listen to the words of one person whose heart was yearning to share in this life-giving teaching of Jesus of Nazareth while he was traveling the dusty roads of the countryside with his followers and preaching. Listen to the scribe who said, "To love one's neighbor as oneself, this is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." It was a pretty radical departure for this scribe to go here. It really was. But let's put it all into a larger context. Let's think about our situation as a church. We are coming out of a 30-day church challenge. where we've learned about community, the value of community. We've learned about worship. We've learned about reaching out. We've learned a lot of things, these five purposes of the church that we're to be about. We are also in process of a liturgical year. Now, when I say liturgical, that's just a fancy word for the church, okay? So we've got this church calendar that goes from Advent into Lent into Easter time, and then you have this long season of Pentecost, and we're nearing the end of Pentecost, and in these days in November, we are preparing to conclude the liturgical year, the church year, and begin a new one with Advent. And in these final weeks of Pentecost, the gospel moves decisively toward apocalyptic readings. You've heard me refer to our Revised Common Lectionary, which is just an organized system for study of the Bible. And we kind of follow that along, except for kind of special emphases. Okay, so in all of that, we're coming down, and in the next several weeks, the readings will be a little bit more apocalyptic. Okay, now our hearts, our souls, during this time are invited to dance, to enjoy, to be a part of the expectant longing of Advent. You know, the coming of the Savior. I mean, it's an exciting time. But also along with that, we have this prayerful consideration of the end time. Not the end of Jesus' life, but the end time as in the end of the age, as the Bible speaks of it. And it's into that context that with this encounter between a scribe and Jesus sits on kind of a fulcrum between the past and the present, between the ancient riches and wisdom of Judaism in which Jesus was steeped to the yet-to-be riches and wisdom of Christian ways that Jesus was visioning with his disciples. So it's in that tension there. And, you know, see, for us, as 21st century Christians, it's easy for us sometimes to assume that every time that Jesus spoke to religious authorities, that there was conflict and antagonism. It's just not true in this case. You know, this antagonism that we assume can encourage many faithful churchgoers to kind of believe that taught that Judaism, the teaching of Judaism, were no longer valid as far as God's covenant with his people. You know, that kind of misunderstanding of Scripture leads some to disdain the spiritual wealth of Jewish practice and learning, or even worse, to scapegoat Jews and to permit in themselves kind of this anti-Semitism that breeds violence, that breeds contempt, that just a bad scene. You see, we need to look at our preconceptions when we read a story in Scripture, because this dialogue, this encounter between a teacher of the law, between a scribe and Jesus, is not hostile. Quite the contrary. It is built around the blessing of tradition, which is represented here by the scribe, and on new teaching that God is offering through Jesus. The scribe invites Jesus to express his deepest, most holy truth about his belief and practice. And Jesus responds with the Shema, which Krista read earlier, from Deuteronomy chapter 6. The most holy truth of his belief and practice, he responds with the Shema, one of the principal statements undergirding Judaism, a proclamation of the holy as the center in which all creation flows and toward which all creation looks. It reads, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one." From that point, this encounter takes an interesting turn. Because from that point, there's almost like a duet that develops between Jesus and the scribe, each adding additional statements about how God's people respond to God's outpouring, each kind of building on the choices of the other in this soaring proclamation of what the kingdom of shalom, the kingdom of peace, will be like. The passage ends with Jesus gathering the blessings from his past and then casting it over the future. He tells the scribe, "You're almost there. You're almost there. You're not far from the kingdom of God. You're almost there. Based on what you've told me about your understanding of Scripture and God and who He is, you're almost there. Now, that was a positive statement out of Jesus' mouth. It was not sarcasm. It was an affirmation. And what brought about that statement? Well, what brought about Jesus' statement of affirmation was a statement that the scribe made. Listen to what the scribe had said. He said, "To love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." That was a radical statement for a scribe. And whatever else you can say about offerings and sacrifices, understand they're personal. They're very personal. They're individual. They are about offering back to God from me on my behalf, from you on your behalf, offering it to God. Now, granted, that there were times, understand, if you're a scholar of the Old Testament, you'll know there were times when sacrifices were made on behalf of the whole people. For example, in times of famine, in times of exile, and at times of the high holy days, though indeed, there were offerings made during those times on behalf of the whole nation, the whole people of Israel. But 99 out of 100 times, they were private. They were exclusive between you and God, between me and God, between the person and God. And yet Jesus, standing firmly rooted in that tradition, in the prophetic Jewish tradition, he really wasn't about being private and exclusive. Jesus was about community. Does that sound familiar? Authentic community. Jesus was about community. He was about discovering the presence of God within community. Jesus was about Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. The scribe doesn't say, nor does Jesus, that burnt offerings and sacrifices don't have their place. That's not what they were saying. You see, a sacrifice is a way that I practice what God, with God, what God is trying and training me to do, and that is to love others. A sacrifice is way God is training me to love others. Do you remember Paul's statement when we were talking about worship in Romans 12:1? About offering ourselves as a living sacrifice. Do you remember that? It's how we offer ourselves to God, our times, our time, all that we are and all that we have, we give that back to God. Let me give you another example of it. Have you ever heard and watched a parent and a child play what I'm going to call the give-give-back game? You know what I'm talking about? The give-give-back game, and it's not just parents. Sometimes grandparents do this with their grandkids. You know, the parent or the grandparent gives the child something. It could be a book. It could be a toy. It could be a blanket. It could be anything. The parent gives the child this object, and then the parent looks at the child and says, "What do you say?" And the child's expected to say what? "Thank you." And then the parent offers the child an opportunity to give it back to them. So the child gives it back to mommy or daddy or grandma or grandpa. And grandma, grandpa, mommy, daddy says what? "Thank you." And then the parent or grandparent gives it back, said, "Would you like this?" And the child takes it and he said, "What do you say?" And the child is to say, "Thank you." Exactly. And this goes on and on and on. Now, fast forward a week or a month or several months later, this child is there. There's a new friend that's come to play. Or perhaps the child has come to church. And there's new friends at church. And the parent invites the child, the teacher perhaps invites the child to give the book or the blanket or the toy to the new friend. Hopefully the new friend will say, "Thank you." You see, the initial game was to practice this important skill of sharing. Now, if you've seen this game go on, and I have, I've been guilty of doing it, okay? Guilty in a good way. You know, we're teaching our children, all right? Now, if you think about it, though, it's really kind of a strange game. Because why should the parent say thank you? The object, you know, it came from the parent to begin with. The child didn't earn it. The child didn't buy it or anything. So why should the parent say thank you when the child gives it to them? Yeah, we're teaching the child. We are. We're modeling gratitude and inviting the child to mimic that. We're reinforcing a good behavior, a good attitude, a good spirit. The parent, the grandparent is teaching the child how to receive with grace and how to give with generosity. How does that apply to us? You see where I'm going here? Yeah, see, a sacrifice, an offering, a tithe, the offering of our talents, the offering of our time. It's God's way of teaching us how to receive with grace and give with generosity. God invites us to practice this easier generosity, which is giving back to Him directly, so that we will mature into our real vocation, which is practicing generosity with each other, with friends, with strangers. And yes, even with enemies. Hear the words again. To love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. This is much more important than all that the Jews had been taught about atonement, which is at-one-ment, how to be at one with God. This offerings and sacrifices was at the very heart of the teaching of how they could be at one with God. But yet, here is a testimony that says to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is more important than all of the system of atonement that we've been taught for generations. It's a radical message. Understand that. Because this gospel reading is about the end time. It's about what that holy time, about what that holy commonwealth, what that holy existence that we call eternity or heaven or in God's presence, whatever you want to call it, that's what it'll be like. In that glorious realm, the one God that Jesus proclaimed, the one God, Yahweh, not Allah, not Buddha, not anybody else, the one true God and only that God, will be loved and will be praised with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our souls, all of our strength. And every neighbor will be loved as we love ourselves. And we can't love ourselves unless we recognize who we are in Christ. What Jesus was about in his earthly ministry was teaching us that then is really now. There's nothing about then that we can't be doing right now. We are not far. Jesus said, you're not far. You're almost there. We're not far from the kingdom because it is among us. It is around us. It's beneath us. It's above us. It's before us. And in the neighbor that we dare to love, that's where it is as well. So, may we live what we await. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for the chance to hear from your Son, to hear from a teacher of the law, the truth about who you are and who we are and what our relationship is with you and what our relationship with our neighbor should be. God, we pray that we would learn the lesson, that you would impress upon our hearts how much you love us, and how you desire for us to forgive all that's done against us. God, help us to love each other in the same unconditional way that you love us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know this Jesus that we've been talking about and have a personal relationship with him, that's priority number one. Having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing in your life. And if you don't have that relationship, I'm going to be here. We're going to stand and sing. I'd love to talk with you about it. If you'd rather call me this sometime this week, I'd be glad to do that as well. whatever's most beneficial to you, where we can have some question and answer time and to kind of talk about that. I'd be glad to do that this morning. If you're here this morning, you say, well, I am a believer, but man, I'm really struggling with this neighbor thing. Maybe especially that phrase about the enemies too. You know, I'm really struggling with that. We can have prayer about that. We can talk about that. Certainly you can do that and square that with God where you are. Ask for his help. Ask him to allow you to see others as he sees others. If you're here and you say, well, I'd like to be a member of this church, there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that either today or in the coming week. And whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. As you leave from this place today, as very much a part of our tradition and practice here at College Park, let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your Son who makes all things new. God, we pray that as we go from this place, that you would touch our hearts, that you would allow us to see others as you see them, and that you would use us in a way that is powerful and beyond our own understanding and perhaps even capabilities. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.